Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, December 12th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. Disgruntled parents say they are mobilizing Zimbabweans to stop a move by the government to take over school development funds.
An ultimatum of the 31st of December was given as the day by which those accounts should have migrated to the SSF account.
A Zimbabwean living in America has developed a safety device designed to track the way people drive cars, especially teenagers.
The device is a cellular device. It has a SIM card. It works pretty much like a cell phone. But what this device does is it extracts the data that is on your vehicle based on the way you have driven it.
And as usual, we will take a closer look at women's issues. Disgruntled parents say they are mobilizing Zimbabweans to stop a move by the government to take over school development funds. They say it is unacceptable for the government to ask parents' teachers' associations to hand over all their money to the state. One of the parents, Hopewell Kumbo, tells Studio 7 they fear that their funds will be misappropriated.
Schools in the airport Mabuguta Fara district, which is in Greendale. Some districts have been ordered to make sure that the accounts which ordinarily have been run by school development committees should now be in the school services fund, which is run by the school head, the deputy, and the teacher in charge. And this is under the direct control of the ministry. So no reason has been given to that, but it has been done. Nobody has given an explanation except in order, without any written documentation.
And what are most of the parents saying about this?
Most of the parents are not comfortable with handing over their hard-earned cash, their tuition fees and their levies to that account, because ordinarily they do not have control over it, and they're suspicious why this move now with the money to be transferred to those accounts. So parents are worried by that, and they do not want to see any situation where their fees are going to be abused.
Who actually made that kind of directive?
In my district, that directive was pronounced by the district education officer, and she said it was an instruction from above, and she was only relaying it, and it was an instruction that had to be obeyed. And an ultimatum of the 31st of December was given as the day by which those accounts should have migrated to the SSF account.
That was Hopewell Kumbo, a Harare resident, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. State officials were not reachable for comment. A Zimbabwean living in America has developed a safety device designed to track the way people drive their cars, especially teenagers. Gus Chihaba, who set up this surveillance company, says the gadget comes in handy in monitoring all driving habits. He tells Studio 7 they are selling the device in America and other nations.
Vehicle consultant with the company that I founded. The name of the company is Samaritan. We are a vehicle safety innovation company. We're based in Dallas, but our operations are countrywide in the sense that we have the license to sell this device throughout the entire United States.
Tell us about the device that you have actually crafted.
The device is a cellular device. It has a SIM card. It works pretty much like a cell phone. But what this device does is it extracts the data that is on your vehicle based on the way you have driven it. Where we draw the technology is because all the characteristics of dangerous driving are all measurable parameters. So we draw the data from the vehicle and we build a vehicle safety score that will enlighten the driver how they have been driving. What happened many years ago, there were many people that were taking car manufacturing companies to litigation. So the car manufacturers put in this technology to protect them, because they are recording everything that is happening on your vehicle. So when you take them to court, they can tell whether you're a bad driver or a good driver based on that technology. We are extracting that technology out of the vehicle and giving it to consumers.
Who can use it? Can we safely say that even Zimbabweans can use that kind of app?
Yes, Zimbabweans can use that app. The technology can be used globally, but in order for us to be able to provide this service in any other country, we have to have a contract with the telephone provider.
Do you have such arrangements with Zimbabwe?
No, not yet. We have been pursuing, obviously, such channels. I know the closest deal that we have right now is in Dubai. So we can reach an agreement with such a companies that are outside the country to be able to give that service.
Now, tell me, when we talk about such kind of app, is it easily accessible?
Yes, the app is easily accessible. Yeah, it's easy to download, both on the Android and on the iPhone. And we are making plans to also have it available on the Windows Phone.
So how does somebody have that kind of access?
To have access to the services, they simply have to buy the device, which you can buy on our website, which is Samaritan.net. You can download the app from Google Play. You can also download the app from the App Store. Once you buy the device, we'll send it to you. You plug it in onto the diagnostic port of your vehicle. All the instructions are easy. You can write on the box of the device.
How much is the app and how long can somebody use it?
We're charging $250. That includes a year's service. So you can use the device for the year for free. And then the day after the year, where we charge you $4.99 per month compared to our competition, which is charging $300 for the device, and they charge immediately $19.99 a month for the connection services.
That was Gus Chihaba of Samaritan's Company speaking with Studio 7 from Dallas, Texas, USA. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. And as usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by Mrs. Cynthia Hakutangwi, the founder of Holiness Incorporated, a women's rights organization. Mrs. Hakutangwi, a rape survivor herself, will take us through her own personal ordeal and what made her think of starting her own organization that would work with women. This comes at a time when the world over has just finished commemorating the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Hakutangwi. Tell us about your organization. What kind of services do you offer for women?
I am founder of Wholeness Incorporated, which is an organization that looks at critical thinking skills that can bring about transformative action in society. Being a rape survivor, I think one of the things that have motivated me as an individual to become a transformation activist is when you have survived an incident that could have killed you because of the level of trauma and just what it subjects to you physically. You then realize that it's not everyone who has the opportunity of actually surviving such an ordeal. So one of the main things that we as an organization celebrate is to actually say it's a good thing that people realize that women are actually very valuable beings, and people within their society need to look out for them, especially for the girl child, to see whether they are protected, and also to give them credibility. Because one of the main reasons why some of these situations happen is because no one actually pays an ear to the child. So women and girls around the world are now coming to a space where their voice is being heard. And we are saying that at Wholeness Incorporated, we now need to develop critical thinking skills that can help the girl child and the women to not always be victims. And even if they have fallen victim, to be able to actually get out of that situation by developing the inner man and being able to make resolution to cross over and become relatives in their different societies.
Take us through your story. What happened to you?
I was a very young child in the rural village, in the rural areas, and at that point I did not have both my parents there. So it was not in a protected season of my life, I must say. Rural life is exposed in its very nature, because if you're taking care of livestock and you're spending the day away, and you know, you're working with the men in the fields, it's very easy for them to take advantage of you. And whether or not they threaten you to be quiet, sometimes if you do not have that support structure, there's quite no one to talk to. So being a very, you know, young child at that time, some of these things are too overwhelming, and you don't even know whether this is, you know, normal, or this is what happened, or this is what is supposed to be happening to you. So later on, when you begin to grow up and realize that, no, you know what, I was actually violated. So that's, I think, a summary of just some of the things that I went through in my upbringing as a child growing up in a rural, remote village.
For those that may have experienced what you went through as a rape victim, what word of advice do you have for them?
Going through such an ordeal is not an easy thing, because it brings a lot of confusion with it. And sometimes, because you're in a vulnerable situation, and if you do not necessarily have the support structures that you need in your life, you don't know who to turn to. So one of the things that I always advise people at any stage of their life is to have people that can mentor them in their life. Apart from your family, you need to have someone that you can account to. You need to have someone that you can confide in, and someone that you know has confidence in you and can believe you. Because for as long as you don't have someone who believes you, sometimes it becomes very difficult, even when you have been abused, to actually tell your story to the next person. So when we have people that validate us around us, I would say that we need to use those support structures. And for those of us who are going through condemnation, I think one of the first things that we need to get to grips with is the fact that the things that have happened to us are not necessarily because of our fault. So what then that means is, we don't look at ourselves as second-hand used beings, because there's nothing like that. We still maintain the value that is within us.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Cynthia Hakutangwi, the founder of Holiness Incorporated, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. In sports news, Islanders Football Club and Chicken Inn clash in the finals of the Tier 1 Easy Call Cup tomorrow, with winners set to walk away with $80,000. For more details on this issue, visit our Facebook. We are also on Twitter and WhatsApp. And meanwhile, reporter Chris Kande speaks with Omega Spanda Zifa Vice Chairperson about soccer in Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Zimbabwe. Good evening. How are you, people?
Can you tell us how you think you are going to take Zifa and the whole football scene in Zimbabwe to the next level?
We are in a new dispensation. I talk about teamwork. I talk about collective assistance, assisting each other in terms of resource mobilization, transformation of Zifa, togetherness. As they say, unity is power. We are going to succeed.
There has been some reservations from some quarters about the leadership of your president, Mr. Chiyangwa, that he is not experienced in football matters. What do you say to that?
Yes, those are allegations or assumptions from other quarters. But what we call experience is getting experience through various and many things. For starters, the councillor spoke and chose. That's point number one. Number two, he's got experience in football administration. That's why he qualified to go for election. He's got experience in business. He's got all the experience which you want from a businessman. As a result, those doubting Thomases, we are going to prove them as a team that they are wrong. Chiyangwa is the man and his team.
That was Zifa Vice Chairperson Omega Spanda speaking with reporter Chris Kande. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. And finally today, we continue our interview with Zimbabwean-born musician Busi Mhlanga, whose performances have gripped both the British and Zimbabwean audience in the United Kingdom. Busi, who performs traditional and gospel songs in weddings, festivals and other social gatherings, speaks to reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Thank you. I wouldn't not say I'm inspired without mentioning Albert Nyathi, because and Logunfolosi, Albert Nyathi actually he made me, because he's the one who also groomed me into a female musician who believes and knows what she wants. So he really inspired me a lot. And when talking about inspiration as well, I wouldn't pass Miriam Makeba, Dorothy Masuku, Sibusi Ncube. She's one of those women that inspires me a lot, Sibusi Ncube, because I work with her as well. She's always there, and she's always there. Like, she will call me and say, "Busi, come and let's work together," you know. And then when I'm there in Norway working with her, she will also just, you know, teach me some few things that I don't know, and, you know, I learn. And I was, you know, it's so interesting, because the last time I went to Norway to meet Busi Ncube, she was with her twin sister, Patisiwe Ncube of Abon Shek. The two of them, I learned a lot from those two women, those two, the twins.
Which other musicians have you worked with in Zimbabwe and in the UK?
Luyanda Jezile from South Africa, Prudence Jezile, and I've worked with other artists here from home, like Tongesai Gumbo, Lucky Moyo from Explekumfolosi. I've worked with Ostutu Zimazile Mkuni from Explekumfolosi and from Amaboza. I've worked with Zahara, Sencha Balala. I've worked with Yuma Sekela and them. You know, I've met them when I'm going for some festivals in other countries. Like, sometimes I'm invited, because sometimes I work as a freelance musician, so any other person can call me. So in that way, it expands my music knowledge and the way I do my music. So if I meet with such musicians, it expands me. It makes me, you know, a better musician, and I learn a lot from them. There's Tungai, the young girl, Tungai Tigray here. She's doing very well as well. She's also one of those, because I learn also from younger people. You know, I may have taught them before back home, but then when they are doing something as well, I learn from them as well. Also, like Machahawota Ndlovu. He's doing very well, and I like, they inspire me with this musician. I've just discovered one young girl called Awa Zim. They call it Awa Zim. She's a very powerful, bold young girl, and I'm inspired by her. Looking at her, she's young, and I look at the way she's doing it. She's doing it with passion, with boldness. Nigerians, Ugandans. I listen to so many from other countries as well.
That was Zimbabwean musician Busi Mhlanga on the line from Britain. She was speaking with reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga. Now to recap today's top stories. Disgruntled parents say they are mobilizing Zimbabweans to stop a move by the government to take over school development funds. And a Zimbabwean living in America has developed a safety device designed to track the way people drive cars, especially teenagers. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.